special bulletin. America is now under martial law. All constitutional rights have been suspended. Stay in your home. Do not attempt to contact loved ones, insurance agents, or attorneys. Shut up. Do not attempt to think or depression may occur. Stay in your home. Curfew is at 7 p.m. sharp after work. Anyone caught outside the gates of their subdivision sectors after curfew will be shot. Remain calm. Do not panic. Your neighborhood watch officer will be by to collect urine samples in the morning. Anyone caught interfering with the collection of urine samples will be shot. Stay in your home. Remain calm. The number one enemy of progress is questions. National security is more important than individual will. All sports broadcasts will proceed as normal. No more than two people may gather anywhere without permission. Use only the drugs prescribed by your boss or supervisor. Shut up! Be happy! Obey all orders without question. The comfort you've demanded is now mandatory. Be happy! At last, everything is done for you.
Welcome. Welcome back. You are listening to the Freedom Ministry on RBN, and I am your host, Chris Switzer. Still here. We're still kicking. We're still going. I have a guest on the line, Jeremy. Jeremy from Kentucky, does In Plain Sight, one of the hosts here on RBN, and we're just having some free speech. Free speech on the show. Uh-oh. The Anti-Defamation League would call it anti-Semitic venom, I'm sure, and they would want to put us in cages or worse. But here we are nonetheless, and we will speak the truth, because the truth is A, self-evident, and B, I believe, the word of God. Truth is God. That's why they hate the truth so ferociously. Defiantly, it's because they disobey the Creator, because they, like said in John 8:44 from Jesus, the Christ, they are of their father, the devil, and he was a man killer from the beginning, the father of lies. So his children only desire to lie, cheat, and murder. That's what he says in John 8:44, because they are not of God. They don't represent God, and it's not in any of their actions or deeds. And we do have another caller holding, and I appreciate it. I will get to you in just a moment. I just want to read to you, to bring it a little bit back on course here. This is James Traficant's bankruptcy speech in front of the United States Congress in 1993, March 17, and he's addressing the House. Okay, this is Representative James Traficant Jr. from Ohio, who was ultimately murdered for speaking the truth, mind you, murdered by these same said demons. Here's what he said about the United States. Quote, Mr. Speaker, we are here now in Chapter 11, bankruptcy. Members of Congress are official trustees presiding over the greatest reorganization of any bankrupt entity in world history, the U.S. government. We are setting forth, hopefully, a blueprint for our future. There are some who say it is a coroner's report that will lead to our demise. It is an established fact that the United States federal government has been dissolved by the Emergency Banking Act, March 9, 1933, 48 Statute 1, Public Law 89 through 719, declared by President Roosevelt, or Roosevelt, a Jew, being bankrupt and insolvent. Count Joint Resolution 192, 73rd Congress, M Session, June 5th, 1933, Joint Resolution to suspend the gold standard and abrogate the gold clause, dissolved the sovereign authority of the United States and the official capacities of all United States governmental offices, officers, and departments, and is further evidence that the United States federal government exists today in name only. How's that? A lot to chew on. And finishing, he says, the receivers of the United States bankruptcy are the international bankers via the United Nations, the World Bank, and of course the International Monetary Fund, which I mentioned earlier, houses the quote-unquote Department of Treasury, which is in name only, of course, because they abolished the Treasury in 1921. All United States offices, officials, and departments are now operating within a de facto status, in name only, under emergency war powers. And who are we in the War Powers Act? We are codified as the enemy. And this is my aside here. I digress. With the constitutional Republican form of government now dissolved, the receivers of the bankruptcy have adopted a new form of government for the United States. This new form of government is known as democracy, being an established socialist communist order under a new governor for America, dare I say Bolshevism. This act was instituted and established by transferring and or placing the office of the Secretary of Treasury to that of the governor of the International Monetary Fund. Public Law 94 through 564, page 8, section H.R. 13955 reads in part, quote, the United States Secretary of Treasury receives no compensation for representing the United States. Wow. And if that wasn't enough to have them gunning for Mr. Traficant, he went on and on and on. And he never shut up. They put him in jail for it, and when he got out, he still didn't shut up. So they killed him on his own farm in a tractor accident, where his own tractor fell on top of him and killed him. I don't think so, folks. There was also, I'm not going to get into it, but look into it if you'd like. He was murdered. And with that, we are going to take the next caller. It's William Rapillum of RBN Notoriety. Hey, William.
Hey, Chris. Nice to talk to you for the first time. We've emailed a little bit. Listening to your show, I'm really happy listening to you and Jeremy have this discussion. I really liked your last bit that you guys were talking about, the our stuff that you guys agree on. Jeremy and I, we definitely respect each other's views in terms of, and we don't really get into the, you know, discussion on Christianity. I don't like to call it religion because I don't go to church. I do the Bible study with Lorraine Day. I tend to agree with her quite a bit on her take. I think it sounds like you kind of agree with a lot of what she says as well. I don't know if you follow her at
all. Yeah, I do. Much of her stuff I agree with, yes. And I would have her books.
Yeah, I don't blindly agree with everything she says, but like, this is the one thing Jeremy and I disagree about is hell and going to hell and burning for all eternity. I do not believe that anymore. I always had a problem with that God would do that to us, burn us for all eternity with no redemption or possibility of it, just for the simple fact that we maybe didn't get to know Christ in our lifetime, and so then that's what God would do to us, and I find that to be completely insane. I find that to be demonic, and I don't mean to disrespect you, Jeremy, at all. I know you disagree with that, but this is how I feel about it. So and that's actually helped me to want to kind of learn the Bible more and the differences between the Old and the New Testament, the Old being the physical version, and the New being more the spiritual. And sort of, I listened to Jeremy's, I listened to your show on Thursday, you did a Wednesday, you did a rebroadcast, and there were some points. I hope, you know, Chris, I hope to have you on my show on Friday. I think you said Fridays are good, but, and also yeah. maybe Jeremy could join too as well. This was Jeremy's show before. I'm doing Friday nights. I took that spot for him for the Punch Bowl. Yep. I'd love to get deeper into it. I don't want to take up too much more time. Yeah. I just wanted to say hello and make your acquaintance there and see what you guys have to say. I'll kick it over to you guys.
All right. I appreciate the call, Wayne.
Yeah, yeah. Well, can I get your comments can I get your guys' comments before I go?
Oh, of course. Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if Jeremy's back yet. I know he was just doing something quick off air. But he,
that's right. You know, he did. He went to take Zyklon DC somewhere.
Yeah. So I think he is back, though. But I have a comment as well, and I'll let Jeremy comment if he'd like.
Yeah. So I'm back. Hopefully, sure. I'm coming through clear. Tell me if I'm not. But thanks, William, for calling in. William, you're a good friend, and man, you helped me so much by coming on Thursdays and taking the Friday slot. This is overwhelming. But just to address your comments. On hell, I think one thing we can all three agree on, and that's the whole thing of collaborating together, is to find what we agree on. The God of the Bible, the God that exists, that created this earth and all matter, he is a God of justice. So regardless of your opinions on hell, he will judge and he will bring people to account. And the most important thing that I could probably put forth, and I hope you all agree, is that we can either face God's judgment ourselves, or we can pour our faith into the Lord Jesus Christ, who took the judgment of God on the cross. He died for our sins and was resurrected. And that's your two options, regardless of what you think about hell or whether it's eternal or what. You can face God on your own merit, or you can fall under the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'll leave it at that.
Hey, I can't disagree with you there. I would hate to face any type of judgment without Jesus. You see it in Scripture over and over again. Those who do not know the Son cannot know the Father, you know, so on and so forth. But what I was going to say to the point that William made about hell would just be this. I don't want to find out the hard way. if that makes sense, you might just be in the lake of fire, whatever that may be, and be miserable and whatever is to be expected of that. I don't want to go through that. I'd rather just obey the Father and do what he asks and have eternal life.
Okay. Well, can I say one more thing before I go?
Sure.
Just to answer that. So it's not that I don't believe that we don't reap what we've sown and we don't have to pay for what we've done. You think about somebody like Klaus Schwab or Yuval Harari or Bill Gates or the Rothschilds or whoever else up there that have started all these wars. I mean, the hell that they're going to have to pay is going to be horrific. And this is where I tend to really agree, which just really makes sense what Lorraine Day says. But burning in hell for all eternity, not specifically that right there is what I believe to be a misunderstanding of what the Bible is actually saying.
Okay.
The God is like our heavenly parent. He's everybody's heavenly parent. Everybody's going to have to reap what they've sown. Okay, so that's, in a sense, you can call that hell. But the whole thing about burning for all eternity, what does that accomplish? That doesn't accomplish anything for God or the universe. I mean, really, it doesn't make any sense. You know, the people have to come to and realize what all of that they've done, and they have to get to a point, even these people like Bill Gates and Yuval Harari, they're going to have to pay for everything they've done. It's going to be terrible. But eventually they'll come to, and God will win everybody back over because he's God, right? Is that what it's like? God can't win everybody back over? He doesn't have the power to do that?
Well, that comes back to free will and my own, you know, that's my own opinion of the matter. Yeah, of course, he could make us all robotic, you know, and we could all just agree with him and never do anything opposing God's will. But then we wouldn't have free will. So there's that. That's kind of how I see that. I also do see that there are inherently wicked individuals, unfortunately. I wish it weren't the case. That have the characteristics of their father, the devil, and it's seen in their whole being. You know, I believe it's in their DNA, just like I believe that God is in our DNA, in our physical makeup, and, as well as spiritual. You know, it comes full circle. What are your thoughts, Jeremy?
Well, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, just two quick thoughts. Is that is, does God not already know everything we're going to do ahead of time? So. Then would he be God if he did, right? And also, well, go ahead, Jeremy. I had another point, but I kind of forgot it.
Wow. We need like 10 shows for this, but I mean, God is sovereign. I mean, he ordains evil. He ordains good. You know, the rain, it rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. I mean, you know, rain being a good thing there, of course, for the crops. So, all I will say, I'll just leave it with my comment that God will judge evil, and I don't want to face that judgment. I'm going to fall under the grace of Jesus because that's who I put my entire trust in. I just got to leave it at that. Otherwise, we'll go for 3 hours.
Yeah.
All right. I'll put a bookmark there on that point because I won't take any more of your guys' time. But thanks. Listen, let's continue it for sure, though, on my show, you know, whenever you guys are able, just let me know.
All right. You got it.
All right, guys. Thanks again. I'll keep listening. Take care.
All right. God bless you, William. Thanks for calling in.
You too. Bye-bye.
And we do have another caller, unless you want to make any more comments to that, Jeremy.
Well, not to that, but I was listening in on Dan's call. We talk about these problems, and let's name a solution. We might get into the break here. I'll try to be quick. Okay. National Socialism, as you pointed out, Chris, I mean, it's a great ideology. It worked great for the Germans, but they were like 90% like white Germans. Yes. It wouldn't work in America because of the diversity. The brown people would just live off of the white people as they're doing in a socialist system. Socialism worked in Denmark when they were over 90%, you know, Danish, but that system was broken when they brought immigration in. So, you know, what's the solution? I think meritocracy. If you went straight meritocracy and you allowed America to balkanize, then you would have natural segregation. You would have the white man rising naturally, you know, to where he was in the 40s and 50s in mid-20th century America. That was probably the pinnacle of our existence when you had a good blend of capitalism and socialism. Without this crony capitalist Jewish nonsense, neoliberal capitalist, you know, Walmart dollar store on every corner type thing, where you can't get out of graduate high school and earn a living, right? You can't compete with Walmart and Dollar General. So, what would National Socialism look like? The Amish and the Mennonites—they're all Germanic. They pull their money together. They're protected under the First Amendment. So if America was would be able to balkanize, and this would mean the collapse of big cities and the federal government, then that's what it would look like. We would have to go into Amish-type communities.
I see your point. Very valid. And we're going to the break. That's the music. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Use only the drug prescribed by your boss or supervisor. Shut up. Be happy. Obey all orders without question. The comfort you've demanded is now
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is five times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
We interrupt this program with a special bulletin. America is now under martial law. All constitutional rights have been suspended. Stay in your home. Do not attempt to contact loved ones, insurance agents, or attorneys. Shut up.
Welcome back. Welcome back. You're listening to the Freedom Ministry on RBN, and I am your host, Chris Switzer, and we are taking your calls, so please feel free to call in. You can do so at dialing 512-248-8252. Again, that's 512-248-8252. You can also visit republicbroadcasting.org for various ways to donate to keep shows like mine alive. Shows like mine and Jeremy, voices like ours out there so the truth can be heard, discourse is available, and we can hopefully unite and gain solutions to these issues. If you don't know the enemy, how are you going to defend yourselves properly against said enemy? And with that, we do have Jeremy, of course, along for the ride here. We're going to take the next caller. We got plenty of callers holding here. James in Vancouver. Hey, James.
Yeah, guten Tag, Herr Switzer. It's the Turkish-Mongolian calling. by the way, tomorrow is my my Hitler Youth buddy's birthday. He's going to be 95. I just wanted to mention that. And wish him a happy birthday on RBN. And
That's based, man.
Yeah, in 1944, he was firing German 88th at the Allied bombers in the south of Germany. So I wanted to ask about this meeting between the Pope and Zelensky. that happened in May. Did you follow it at all?
I'll let Jeremy take it. I did not follow it closely. No.
Jeremy?
I read it on the Stormer. And yeah, I think the Catholic Church, I want to get straight to your point, James, for the sake of time, has been taken over. The Jesuits are a thing. I used to dismiss them because I would say stuff like, well, Biden didn't elect Chinese Jesuits in his cabinet. They're people that call themselves Jews. And that's a true statement. But like the Jesuits were basically Jews that took over the Catholics. So I see a huge problem with the Catholic Church. People, there's probably great Christians that are Catholics. I know Joy in Florida comes to mind that don't agree with all this. But yeah, I think the Pope and the Jesuits are a huge factor in this global dominance. What do you got, James?
Well, I talked to the Slattery Show yesterday, and I asked about, I mentioned the icon that was presented by Zelensky to the Pope, but on closer examination, I see that the Virgin Mary is holding a black silhouette and not the Christ child. I wondered if you would have any comments on what that might mean for Christendom in general.
Well, there's so much Jewish satanic Masonic imagery, even in Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ. I mean, I watched that movie before I got red-pilled on, we're not supposed to have images of God or Jesus, like, period. I think that's in the Bible very clear. But there's some weird scene where Satan was carrying, like, some demon child or something.
Yeah.
That goes back into some sort of Catholic imagery, and this is where you get into the Jesuits, the Jews, Jesuits, whoever they are, subverting the Catholic faith. I mean, that's probably what that's a reference to, you know, the Virgin Mary holding some black image. If you remember that scene in Mel Gibson's movie, it was real eerie and it creeps me out. Like, I had nightmares about that. But it's really weird. That's probably what it is, but I don't know. Let's kick it to Chris.
It's very dark. No, that's a very dark scene, I will say that. Very, very dark, and I know exactly which image you're referring to. Yeah, that movie in and of itself, I think Jim Caviezel, who of course is out and talking a lot, and he's in the current events because he's doing that movie, The Sound of Freedom, with the whole child sex trafficking and human trafficking and all that. He is actually was casted as the to play Jesus in Mel Gibson's film. And he says that when he was up on that cross, you know, for that scene, the crucifixion, he was like overcome with evil, and he just felt it. And there were many things that happened on set that were very odd and, you know, did not have a worldly explanation, let's say. So, there was probably a lot of darkness and stuff that went into that film, no doubt.
It's like the original Exorcist, man. If you read stuff on that, like, some of the actors died, like the dude that got his head twisted and thrown out the window by the demon possessed bitch, like that dude actually died, that actor. It's just weird stuff. I mean, Hollywood, Jews, Satanism, I mean, all these demons, you know, work in these films. And I regret having watched The Passion of the Christ,
that movie, The Exorcist, was shot in Georgetown, actually. And the Roman Catholic Church did have something to do with it. They were asked to consult for that movie. So, I'll let you guys go. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, no problem. Not far from the Masonic Lodge, I will say, in Washington as well. But we'll be right back
after
the break.
Again.
All right, thanks.
Use only the drug prescribed by your boss or supervisor. Shut up! Be happy. Obey all orders without question. The comfort you've demanded is now
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past. or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We interrupt this program with a special bulletin. America is now under martial law. All constitutional rights have been suspended. Stay in your home. Do not attempt to contact loved ones, insurance agents, or attorney. Shut up. Do not attempt.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Freedom Ministry here on RBN, and I am your host, Chris Switzer. We have Jeremy from Kentucky on as a guest. And we have callers calling in, so we're going to keep right on trucking here. I'm going to take the next caller, Wayne in Mississippi. Hey, Wayne.
Hello. Listen, I want to tell you, I love Jeremy's Wednesday show, and I love your show on Saturday. Jeremy calls his Wednesday show the apex of his broadcast, and I agree. I love the shows, and I hope you guys can get together and do it again. I have a couple of quick points. Lorraine Day comes from a Seventh-day Adventist background, and one of their beliefs is that hell is not a eternal lake of fire, but in hell you are extinguished, and the real hell is that you exist no more and that you are eternally separated from God. And, you know, I kind of wanted to ask, get your viewpoint on that, and then a couple of other things, if you don't mind. I'd like to know what you guys think about cremation. Is there any pros or cons, opinions on that? And I'd like to ask Jeremy, what does he feel happens at the moment that when you die? Do you immediately go to heaven or hell? or what happens, or do you go to sleep? I'd like to get your opinion on that. And that's pretty much it, but I really enjoy these shows.
Sure. Yeah, if you want to take the question, go ahead, Jeremy.
Yeah, so speaking biblically, at the moment of death, the Apostle Paul says that for believers to be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. Hmm. And then the Lord Jesus told us that the rich man and Lazarus, in that, I don't think that was a parable. I think that was a legit like account. The rich man lifted his eyes up in hell. So for the unbelievers, they wake up in hell in spirit. For the believers, they are immediately in the presence of God in heaven, and the body is in the earth, right? So then there's going to be the resurrection. Revelation talks about the resurrection of the life for believers and the resurrection of the dead for unbelievers. Both are eternal. And again, this is where I love William, man. He's a great friend. Like, we spent time together in person, but we so disagree on this. I mean, hell is eternal. And he mentioned Lorraine Day from a Seventh-day Adventist background. Another thing that those type of religious organizations advocate, as well as Mormonism, is vegan. They say to be spiritual, you got to be vegan. Well, that's not in the Bible. You got to change 90% of the Bible, for crying out loud, for that to be true. And so these people just say, well, the Bible's tampered with. It's wrong. But the Lord Jesus fed his disciples fish. He ate fish, and he ate the Passover lamb once a year. So there's a lot of problems with a lot of these cults that rise up. But just to answer the caller's question, the body goes into the dust, and the spirit either goes with the Lord or goes to hell, depending on whether you've put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. As far as the resurrection, you know, it says of believers that we'll be as the Lord Jesus. He didn't get a different body. His actual body that went into the stone tomb, you know, his spirit reunited with that body, and he became glorified. So even if you're cremated, I don't agree with cremation. I think it's kind of anti-Christian, but people do it because they're poor and they can't afford, you know, the whole funeral thing, the whole, you know, where they drain the body of fluids and fill it with whatever. They can't afford that. So, like, I don't think it matters. If you're a believer in Jesus and you get cremated, you're going to heaven. But, you know, wherever your particles are, they're going to be reunited one day in a resurrection. So we're all going to be resurrected either to eternal life or to eternal death. So those are my answers.
Okay, well, thank you. I must say that I think applying the word cult to the Seventh-day Adventist, I don't think that's right. But anyways, I really enjoy your viewpoints in the Wednesday show and the Saturday show. So take care, fellas. Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you for the call. I just want to, before we jump to the next call, I do want to say that I appreciate your response, Jeremy, and I tend to agree with you. So there's that. We're finding out we agree with much of what, you know, each other's thoughts are. We haven't talked a whole lot off air, so we're just kind of getting to know one another and our beliefs. So I do agree with you wholeheartedly with that, and I also agree that I would use the word cult with the SDA, but That could be a whole other show in and of itself. Do you have any other comments on it before we take the next call?
I mean, just to define the word cult, I mean, it's where you're following a person rather than the Word of God. And Seventh-day Adventists, Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, they trace back to a person, a man's belief that they have had some extra biblical revelation about God. And you need to believe them and not the scripture. That's what I would define as a cult.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you. Yep, that's my thoughts as well. So there's that, and we will keep it going here and take the next call. We have Lynn. Thank you for holding in Maryland. Hey, Lynn.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chris and Jeremy. I appreciate you today. I'm a 1611 AV gal. I definitely believe in the King James. Years and years before, I'd memorized 2 Timothy 3:16, and the moment I seriously started to read the King James Version 30 years later, I was like, oh, dear God, this is your spirit-inspired Word of God. And I had every other version of the Bible, and I even had a King James. I just didn't read it, you know, very rarely. I wanted to share a couple things. One is there's nothing we can do to pay for our sins. We can make restitution to somebody we sin against, but to be saved, it's about faith in Jesus, that he paid the price for our sin. He died on the cross. But it's not just faith, because we hear this weird modern gospel all the time. Faith alone, you know, say a little ditty prayer after the pastor that means nothing. And, you know, I mean, I think everybody's just saved from boredom on Sunday mornings because they can go out to breakfast afterwards. And, you know, but we are called to repent, to turn away from our sin. And some sin is easier than other sin, but that is also the other thing that we've been mistaught is about grace, because it's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that gives us. It's not in our strength, because we can't do it. We're going to still keep doing what we do, whether it's drugs, alcohol, porn, you name it, whatever it is, fornicating, name it, name it, name it. You know, there's a reason they're Ten Commandments. All Jesus did was tighten them up. And, you know, it was the thing, one of the things that woke me up when the Lord led me to the King James, and I'd asked him to show me anything in my life that didn't, that just wasn't right. What I learned was everything. And I mean, I'd had faith forever. But I had, nobody had taught me the truth of the Word of God. So I said, wipe out everything I have ever known and believed to be true, and I want to know just what your Word says, and I will take you at your Word. And what I did find was Scripture does interpret Scripture. I'd warn people to be careful with Strong's. Not that I don't use it, but until you know the Word of God, just stick with a good collegiate dictionary with obsolete and archaic definitions, and you will be led to know the truth. I mean, it's kind of like people who want to say the Sabbath day. It doesn't matter. It's now Sunday. Well, I don't know. It's the seventh day of creation. I believe the Lord's word about creation. And it's a gift to us. You know, we weren't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man, and Jesus said he is the Lord of the Sabbath day. And to me, it's kind of like the hinge that holds it all together. But thank Constantine in 321, because that's when the Christians sold out to be saved from the persecution they were under. Well, you know, when we go to 2 Timothy, we're told that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And then I'd like to share just a couple verses from the end of 2 Timothy and from chapter 3 and the beginning of chapter 4, if I may. And, you know, he goes on to say, continue in the things thou hast learned and where, who you learned them from, because don't worry, there are many false teachers out there, and there will be, and they're growing worse and worse, and there is going to be a great falling away, and you can only fall away from what you had. Mm. But it goes on to say that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scriptures given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Not saved by good works, but we're told. If we love God, we do what He guides us to do. And I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. God and Jesus. Okay. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And here it is. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And we can't do that. We have the word. I heard somebody do the perfect example of what I said happens. he read from chapter 19 of the book of Revelation up through verse 16, skipped the rest of that chapter, skipped all of 20. Mm. Revelation 20 is vital, and then read a couple verses out of 21. Well, the book of Revelation doesn't end until 22, 21, and the book of Revelation was given to us so we would know what is to come, so we would be prepared, because there's going to be a great falling away. There is an Antichrist. There is a false prophet. And he tells us over and over and over to endure to the end, whatever our end is. And it's not just take the mark of the beast or you can't buy or sell. It's worship in that image or the beast himself. Now look, they're running VR on the background of every screen you're looking at, and you don't know what's there, but your brain takes it in and knows it to be absolute truth. And if there is an image of the beast there, we can't repent of those things. Those are the two things, that and blaspheming the Holy Spirit, we can't do. We can't repent of that. Our names are removed from the book of life. And I know Jeremy probably has a little issue with this, and I will just agree to disagree, and the Lord deal with it, deal with both of us. But the thing is, you know, people want to say, Jesus coming back, we're all being raptured, either that or we're, that's the end of everything. No. Read chapter 20, 21, 22 in Revelation. Read the whole book. Try to sit down every month or two and read it alone out loud without an interruption or noise or discussion. And I learned that every book of the Bible, if I do that, if I read an entire book at one time, believe me, there's a meaning you don't get reading a chapter at a time. Okay, and just bless your heart. If you want to hear some real propaganda, you know, and lies, and it has to do with Israel, listen to Catherine Glick's interview with Frank Gaffney Thursday night, I think it was. It's Center for Security Policy about Israel. And thank you. And also Chuck Chris Meyer last Wednesday for ViewpointSaveUs.org was about the Vatican. Okay. It was very good. All right. Thank you both. Thank you. And thank you to William and everybody else who's called in. Sorry to take so long, and bless your hearts. And I appreciate and love you.
Appreciate it, Lynn. And some great points, great scripture. Unless Jeremy has a comment, I'm going to jump to the next caller.
Just real quick, I agree with almost everything. There's so much there. I would say, just to clarify, 2 Corinthians 7, Paul is addressing believers who are already saved. And he says, godly sorrow leads to repentance. The only way you can repent from sin is when you put your faith and trust in Christ. An unbeliever is dead. They can't repent from sin. Once you're a believer, then you can repent from sin. And James 2 says that if you have faith, you're going to have works. So that's what I would add to that.
Yeah, direct result, but not in place of. Yep. Makes perfect sense.
I don't disagree with that. Not at all. Thank you.
Lynn.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. Appreciate you.
Bye-bye.
Bless you.
I appreciate all the callers holding. We're going to do our best to get to everybody. We have Joe in Florida. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for taking your call. Hey, Jeremy. God bless you both. I'm going to try and compete for being the most unpopular caller to the show today. I am a Roman Catholic.
Burn him at the stake.
Right. But listen, hey, I want to say... Go ahead.
I stuck up for you, Joe, by the way.
No, when? When was that?
No, James was talking about the corruption in the Catholic Church. That's one of his main points. And I said, there's a lot of believers that are Catholic. I said, go in Florida.
No, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Hey, listen, I will just say, parenthetically, Chris, Jeremy, and William, the reason I love RBN and I do call in and participate is precisely this hour, okay? Because we obviously have disagreements in theology. I consider all the people here and called in, especially, and you guys, brothers in Christ. And so I always say, like, if I have 90% in agreement with people, I'm going to emphasize that, and I'm not going to focus on those things that we differ with. I want to say really quickly about the Jesuits. And so just because that was mentioned earlier. So the thing with the Jesuits, they don't run the world. They don't control the world. At one point, in fact, when they were founded by St. Ignatius, there were a very holy army of great evangelizers throughout the world. What's happened in the last 75 years, they have been corrupted, and they have also corrupted the leadership of this church, the church founded by Jesus Christ, the one holy Catholic apostolic church, okay? So, but the Jesuits are bad guys now. I agree with that. But the real reason I wanted to call was in answering to my other brother in Christ, William, and I think Jeremy and Christy might even agree with me. Just to answer his question, which I think is a legitimate, really honest question, he talked about the nature of, like, God sending someone to eternal punishment in hell. Mm-hmm. So to our modern ears, it sounds like, oh, very harsh, right? But the way I would explain, and I think you have already started with this, Jeremy, is so, like, we all have souls, right? And so what is the nature of our souls? They are eternal. So if at some point God is going to judge us and where we will ultimately go, right, the judgment on our eternal souls by nature, by reason, would be an eternal judgment. So eternally going and being with God, which we call heaven, or the eternal nature of our soul, if we reject God even completely, then it's actually not even God that chooses to send us to hell. It's we, if we are resolute in the sin and reject every opportunity to repent and turn, even at the very last moment of our life, if we reject it then we are putting on ourselves that eternal, it is an eternal judgment to be separated from God and to go to hell through the fires of Gehenna. I have no reason to doubt Holy Scripture, but anyway, I just wanted to add that, and I hope you guys can also preach that we agree about 90% of the time, especially on the so-called Jake Jew, right? Even Islam, right, which I believe is a heresy of Christianity, Islam, but the nature of Talmudic Judaism is an attack on God. These are people who are making themselves enemies of God, and that's what unites us, I believe.
Okay, good point. Yeah, good point. As long as I'm, you know, sticking to Scripture and Scripture alone, I think that was a great point that Jeremy made earlier with regards to what a cult is, then we're good. And I know that there's lots of good Catholics who that is what they try to do. And, you know, just because we disagree on some things, you know, that it is what it is. But as long as you are reading the Bible for yourself, and you are taking it to heart, and you are actually in belief of Christ, what he did, you repent of your sins, you will have the eternal life. I believe that as well. But as he said, your soul is eternal, and he does judge. So it may be harsh, but this is the word of God. So it is what it is. Any thoughts, Jeremy?
I can't say it enough. Either you pay for your sins, or you trust that Jesus paid for your sins.
100%. Yep. There it is. Well, I appreciate the call, and we are going to hop right along to Mayor in Wisconsin. Hey, Mayor.
Oh, hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
Yeah. Now, with Lorraine Day, she was raised, as she says, Christian, and apparently Seventh-day Adventist, but she went agnostic for 30-some years until she researched for herself and learned to know and love God, and it just keeps going on. She's read the Bible more than 30 times, and her Bible studies, I'm sure William will attest, are very enlightening. And some of the words in the King James Version, you know, God inspired men to write the Bible, but translators were men, you know, paid by men to put in there what they wanted.
Sure.
So we'll have words like fear, which actually means reverence, and we'll have mercy to make God look really mean, which actually is loving kindness, and a lot of times it was left as loving kindness. And the same for hell. There is no hell. What, you know, think of it as a parent, as this is a, you know, the analogy she often makes is, so, and she had two boys, so say your son was out dragging with a car and blew out the tranny. And so what, you're going to burn him alive? You know? No, you're going to turn him to right doing. And so we all have to reap what we've sown, but at the end, Jesus and God, they're the same. They will restore everything. They created everything. Why not restore everything? Of course they can. That doesn't mean universalism. You know, so we get these funny ideas. And with Seventh-day Adventist, I grew up around Seventh-day Adventists, and it kind of is kind of humorous to me how so often people will say Mormon and Seventh-day Adventist in the same breath, and they don't know what they're talking about. Okay? You know, and it varies, I'm sure, with different ones, but I think all religions are a cult. What's the first commandment? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That includes pastors and doctors. Okay? You know, you follow him, and he'll give you the truth you need. All right? Obey him, and he'll show you more and more truth. So, and a soul is actually, it just means five basic, you know, that all creatures have. And when we're dead, we know nothing. So don't be fooled by that, because we have people that, oh, my grandmother's ghost or spirit or whatever. Spirit means breath. No, these are demons, okay, when they work like that. So just put your faith in God. And you know, at the end there it says how 42 months, right, and then 1,260 days. And so, and with the rapture and all that, they try to put it together 7 years. No, it's still 3.5 years. The months refer to the ones that work in the darkness, and the days to the ones that work in the light. You know, so there's just so much to look forward to. And tomorrow, Lorraine Day will be my guest at 2 p.m. Central on RBN.
Excellent.
Yeah, excellent. And I also just wanted to read this real quick. For by grace are ye saved, through faith. See, faith even has to come. We don't even have faith on our own. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. So it's something to live by, you know, and we need him every breath. Until we realize that, and to follow him, not any other teaching, not that we have to agree with each other on everything. We're all at different places learning. I keep learning every day, and I'm an old lady, you know, so... Thank you, though,
well,
for
taking
my call.
I always appreciate the call, Mary. Of course. God bless you. I think we can sneak in the last call here. Mike, you got something quick to say?
Well, as quick as I can be, she mentioned something there. I think Paul, I don't know what a lot of people think of Paul, but in Romans 12:3, each man is given his measure of faith depending on what your gifts are. So, I've never been able to have enough faith to heal a withered hand or walk on water, for instance. But, you know, to whom much is given, much is required also. But I think I heard Jeremy on one of these shows, or a show with Jeremy, where somebody was talking about the Gog and Magog situation. And there's several places throughout the scriptures for that. I don't know if you'd call it a theophany or if it's just a kind of a parable. There's we have to rightly divide what's supposed to be literal from poetry. And for there
well, we came right up at the end. I'm sorry to cut you off, Mike. Next week,
the sand can't be numbered, so we're never going to have that happen, if you're that literal.
Well, I appreciate everybody calling in, especially Jeremy being my guest. We're going to have to do this another time, Jeremy.
Yes, there's going to be a part 10, I'm sure.
You got it, brother. God bless everybody. That's it. And listen to Mare tomorrow. I think she said 2 p.m. God bless you.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN.
free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.